Welcome to Phoneboy Speaks, a short podcast about whatever mobile technology, social media, geek culture, information security, or general tech douchebaggery that happens to be on my mind. I did something today that, well, I never thought I would have to do, but I guess this is the modern world we live in, but I had to get a software update for my car. So, as I mentioned on a previous podcast, I bought a new Prius, and it has an entertainment system with, you know, all the doodads on it, but it was crashing while playing podcasts off of my iPhone. And I was having issues with it with either with USB or Bluetooth, and Bluetooth would sometimes also get garbled when I would pair it and try to play through Bluetooth versus USB. And it's really annoying when it does it several times in a row while I'm driving down the road, which is makes the in-car audio system not all that useful. So anyway, I happened to be over near my Toyota dealer where I bought the car, and so I drove over there and said, "Hey, what's going on?" And I figured that we probably needed some sort of software update. And I said, "Oh, yeah, we can sneak you in and do it. No, it'll take like 90 minutes. Like, really? it's not just a simple thing." Well, I guess it's not. And I didn't have them explain the process to me. I'm assuming it had something to do with the USB port and God knows what else. But apparently there is, there's a way to update the firmware on it. But you have to take it into the dealer to do that, which I'm not all that thrilled about. And unfortunately, because the problem would happen intermittently, but when it was happening, it would happen like all the time. So I don't yet know whether that will solve the issue or not, but they did upgrade the firmware. And that kind of got me to thinking, if you can make your some part of the electronics in your car crash or do something, I mean, this is the kind of thing that a hacker who could figure out a way to exploit and essentially do arbitrary code execution, which is, usually how something happens, right? You fuzz it with data, and then and then it causes some unusual behavior, and then then you can get it to execute code. That's how that's one of the ways that things are exploited, I suppose. But of course, it all gets me thinking about, well, what's the security of my car, right? I mean, and fortunately, my car does not have any internet access, although I have seen some that do. And so, what's the security of that, right? I mean, that now, the more connected things are, the more possible ways that the attack surface increases and things get more complicated. I mean, having discussions about this with people online is like, where's the product liability for all this stuff? And is it even possible to make a secure thing? It's more complicated as you add computers to everything, and as you add connectivity to everything, it just becomes much more complicated to try and put the genie back in the bottle and keep it secure. If you didn't make it secure to begin with, then that's going to be a big thing. So it turns out that the National Highway Traffic and Safety Administration, one of the many arms of the federal government in the United States, they have put out some guidelines talking about the things that automakers should do to make their vehicles secure, keep them secure, and then if something happens, what do you do about it? And it's a surprisingly easy read. It's only about 20 pages as a PDF. Of course, it's linked in the show notes, but this is happening, the Internet of Things, or the Internet of Insecure Things, or whatever, or embedded devices, or whatever you want to call them, right? That this is going to be a problem, right? Whether it's cars or your routers or your light bulbs or whatever, right? So as all of these things connect, there's now going to be huge and much more bigger attack surface. And these are things I'm thinking about as I'm getting a firmware update in my car. Almost makes me want to go back and get an old gas guzzler, just because something with sheet metal and rivets and in a fairly simplistic electronic system kind of thing. But I don't think we're there anymore, unless I want to get an old classic car and really overspend money. But this is the world we got to deal with now. So I guess Yes, if you have a Prius and, you, and your entertainment system is problematic, and I did see some other people having the same issue, so it's for sure not an isolated thing, then I guess you have to take it into the dealer to get it updated. Not the best thing, and as I say, it's not something I would have done, except I was over in that part of town anyway, and so I went there and did it. So there you go. Yeah, I guess you got to, you know, of all the things you also have to keep your firmware updated on, I guess your car, just add that to the list. Thanks for listening to this episode of Phoneboy Speaks. Visit phoneboy.com/PS on the web for more information.